morning. Listen, we're gonna hold off on the missions report again. First service kind of took a little thing. I know this month is March missions, missions March, and we're gonna be going over things regarding the missions. We're gonna be sharing some stuff, about the different ministries that we support at Family Worship Center this month. But and there are three different areas that we'll talk about next week. More or less of community missions area. This is ministries that we support in our community, and then also stateside missions. Missionaries that we support in the United States, and then also worldwide missions. And so, but we'll give a report next week. I just want to jump into the Word. Does that sound okay? We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you're excited to be in the house of the Lord. So, listen, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, the New King James Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. But before we pray, we want to dismiss middle school at this time. If via middle school Bible study, they can be dismissed with Ashley and Peter Leota. So any middle schoolers, I know I didn't officially do that, so that they walk out. Okay, so I just want to make sure. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father God, for this time in your presence. Thank you, Father God, for the individuals that are here this morning to hear your word, to grow closer to you, Father. And I thank you that we come into this place not to be entertained, but we come into the house of God, your house, Father, to be drastically changed. And we can walk out of this place saying, surely it was so good to be in the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're going to title this morning's message, after reading that scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, if you're going to title this morning's message, you can entitle it Bubblegum. Who likes to chew gum? Anybody? Any gum chewers in the house? I know when I was growing up, I liked to chew gum. Hubba Bubba, right? Bubble Yum. Anyone have their favorites, right? And then you like to blow the big bubbles, right? I played baseball for 7 and 9 years, actually, in Ormond Beach and the Ormond Rec. And, you had those that super bubble, that stuff that's just pure sugar. And then you just chew it until it just turns to rubber. And then I would love to pop, pop the gum. I used to do that when I seen him in the dugout. Or I'd be able to pop it 12, 15 times, easy. Just because, we didn't chew. We were teenagers, we didn't chew. So we were playing baseball. And because my positions, I could play any position except for pitcher and catcher. I could not pitch, and I definitely couldn't. I was not crazy enough to sit behind, squat behind the base, but I played every other position. My two favorites were first base and center field, because those are the two positions that had the most action. And so, but I could pop my gum, man, all the time, just pop, And so this morning, the title Bubblegum, and you're thinking, what? That's crazy. Yeah, it is. So, how many were here last week when Pastor Kathy and Carmen shared about the inner city missions trip to New Orleans? Right? How many? Anybody? Right? Right? Remember to share a testimony? Well, those of you that didn't know, there was a 6 to 8 SUM students, School of Urban Missions, that we have a cohort here at Family Worship Center, but there's cohorts all over the country. And 600 to 800 individuals met up in New Orleans to walk down Bourbon Street and share the love of God with people. Pretty amazing, if you think about it. And visually, you could, if you watched, different excerpts from social media that Pastor Kathy would put up, because it was some people from the church, it was seven individuals went. And I would just, when Carmen first talked to me about this, she's our cohort leader. She first talked to me about this. I just said, are you serious? You have people walk down Bourbon Street. Has anyone, do you know what goes on during Mardi Gras? I mean, they get the beads for a reason, all right? There's drinking involved, and this is craziness, right? It's the world, bottom line. And so I said, how do you get college students that are walking through, and, you know, and there's constant stuff that they've got to, you know, be looking away from and this and that. How do you get them past that, you know? You know, you're there for the right reasons, but all those distractions, I could just be screaming at you. And she said something that made me laugh, and it comes from the title of her message this morning. She said, there's this a safe word that the leaders yell out. If they see something that's inappropriate, they yell bubblegum. And they know to look down, right? And so if somebody does something or something is being seen, if somebody sees it, suddenly you hear bubblegum, boom, everyone just automatically looks down. Pretty funny, right? And even though this year they said, they came back and they said they changed the word. They changed it. It wasn't bubblegum this year. I was like, really? Are you serious? You know, because I was like, that was my message for this Sunday. That was the title of my message, because when I heard that, something sparked in me. I'm going to share with you in a second. But this year, they said that they would tell the guys to look down. They would say, look down, heads down. That's what it is, heads down. Because Miss Alice was here earlier. She went. They would yell, heads down. The guys would, if it's something that they weren't supposed to see, they yell, heads down. Or if there was something that the girls weren't supposed to see, they would yell, heads up. And so, you can figure that one out. And so, but the whole thought pattern is the whole bubblegum thing. You have bubblegum, you're not supposed to see something that you're not supposed to see. And so, when you think about that, when it comes to our walk with Christ, in reading here, Hebrews 12:1, going back to say, wherefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us, entraps us. All right? So let's talk about that for a second. There's sin. Now, how many of you know that all of us can easily agree, you know, that sin separates us from God? Right? Sin separates. Sin, bad. God, good. I'll get my caveman going, all right? Sin, bad. God, good. Right? It's so, so simple. But see, and it says, let us lay aside every sin. Right? Why are we laying aside every sin? Well, it goes on. So that let us run with endurance or with patience the race God has set before us, looking unto Jesus. How many of you know each and every one of us sitting here today are running a race? We are running our race, the race that God designed for you to run. Right now, this moment in time, you are running your race. And right here, the Bible's saying that to run that race, we need to lay aside. To do that, you have to make a conscious decision to lay something down. To say, this is sin and I lay it down. You have to make that decision for your life. Your spouse can't make it for you. Your parent can't make it for you. Your child can't make it for you. You, each and every person, has to make that decision for themselves. They make the decision to lay aside sin so they can continue to move forward and run their race. Are you with me? So we can all easily agree with that. That's simple. That's easy. That's simple. But allow me to draw your attention to where it says, therefore we are also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Weight and sin. Oh, wait. If Mike Kosis were here, like, weightlifting is not bad. You know? Oh, you are here. I didn't see you. The pillar was there. Oh, my gosh. I didn't see you. I was standing right there. There's like no pillar. I'm like, oh, yeah. So weightlifting isn't bad. Weights aren't bad. But let me tell you this. Weights, anyone ever tried to run a mile? Whether you're like, you know, you're gasping and everything else, you know. But you run anywhere. You run around a bike. You run around a church. It doesn't matter. Run anywhere. It's easier to run free than if I put 50-pound weights around your ankle, each ankle. And then you try to run. And, you know, I can see people like, ah, hulking it up. I can do it. I can do it. You know, American Ninja Warrior or whatever that, you know, and all this stuff. And, yeah, you're going to be able to do it for a while. But you can't keep that pace up. Sooner or later, you're going to stop. You're going to stop running. And that's exactly what a weight does. So, you know, I've been blessed to be behind a microphone ministering the gospel close to, that's actually over 3 decades, either behind a microphone and leading worship or behind a microphone preaching the word of God. And every time that I've ministered from this specific passage of scripture, I've always seen a weight like this. Sin, black. God, white. Good. Good, bad. Are you with me, right? Black, white, and then the weight is the gray area. There is a gray area in our lives that is not necessarily sin, but it weights you down. It distracts you. Are you following me? It's not necessarily bad, but yet it's not necessarily godly. It's a gray area. It's those gray areas that people argue that, well, I could do that because it's not in the Bible. Because it doesn't outright, it's not a black, it's not a white, it's gray. And for each of us, that gray area is different. Because, and how do you know what's a gray area? It's a conviction of your heart. When God's telling you that that's not good for you, even though it's not sin, it's a distraction. We need to yield bubblegum spiritually and keep our eyes on Jesus. Look up. There's different things. Now, I'm going to share with you my walk, okay? This is not, for everybody it's different. But when I rededicated my life to the Lord in 88, right, there were things that God put on my heart to give up so I can draw closer to him. Now, these were different because some people can do these things and they're fine. They're not necessarily sin. They're the gray area. So for me, was secular music. I, to this day, do not listen to secular music. Now, in the 80s, one of the biggest musical, you know, decades, you know, of all time. Some of the most iconic songs came out of the 80s, right? And so, I mean, how many remember the Columbia House? You know, you get 10 tapes for a penny, right? And, you know, and you put your friends' names and you have like 30 or 40 different tapes because you'd be signing all your friends up, but they all had your address, right? And everything. So yeah, I did that. And then you know, there's all, you know, I listened to music so much. It's constant. It was a part of the 80s. If you were an 80s kid, grew up in the 80s, you listen to music. You listen to 80s music. You listen to secular music. But for me, when I gave my heart to God, for me, I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying this is me. This is what God put on my heart. This is God's dealt with me. This was a gray area for me. That I, to draw closer to God, there are things that I had to sacrifice. I had to give up. And so for me, it was that, secular music. And that was difficult. Because if you think back, those of you that have been around, there wasn't that much music back then. Now, I mean, you want to, you like Eminem, or you can listen to that person or that person, Christian. There's all types of Christian alternatives for the style or genre of music that you like. Back in 88 and early 90s, they didn't have that at all. And so, you know, it was super challenging, but you know what? I did it because I desired to draw closer to God. And I also developed something that I realized it just keeps me very in tune with God. And so I don't. Like, you know, Jules, we listened to, remember when Frozen was real popular? And, oh, my gosh, I listened to Let It Go 50,000 billion times. You know, I'm like, please let it go. But it's not like, oh, it's the devil. I'm not gonna, you know what? But no, it just, I chose not to do it for me. I'll give you another example. Now, you can say, okay, that's bad. But at one point in my life, every other word out of my mouth, and I'm not exaggerating because my wife knew me at this time, every other word of my mouth was the F-bomb. I blah, 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 and just, you know what it is, you know? And after I rededicated my life to the Lord, and like I said, in 88, you know, I really did not want that as a part of me. I said, you know, it's just, I did not have one of those road to Damascus, encounters with God. Like, I received Jesus, rededicated my life to the Lord, and the next morning, oh, everything was different. You know, I know some individuals that were like that. They had this incredible encounter with God. But me, this brother had to work it off, man. Because it just, you know, it was real to me. It was so real. And so what I went to, I said, you know what? I went and I worked on a construction site. I was a foreman of a construction site. So we're driving to Orlando because we worked at Disney. It was a Disney project, big, large Disney project. And when we were driving over, I was telling the guys, hey, you know, I was sharing with them what was going on, you know. And I told the guy that I worked with, hey, every time that I curse, I'm going to give you a quarter. And he's like, that's awesome. That's drinking money to me. Because you curse a lot. And I used to bring a couple rolls of quarters to work. This is the truth. Probably over a month. I mean, I would just be dishing out quarters. You know? And sometimes we were working in an apartment, but we were in different rooms, you know, because there were new buildings going up. And we were putting tile in. I would walk in. Hey, Kenny, lay a quarter, turn and walk out. He's like, why are you giving me a quarter? I'm like, because I dropped something on my foot and I said something. He's like, no one heard you. Why would you do that? I'm like, because I heard me. It was a matter of the heart, you know? And so it got to the point where I was giving less and less quarters and he had less and less drinking money, which was okay with me, you know? And so, but that's how, for me, it's like to this day, when I get up in the middle of the night and I'm walking to the bathroom, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, I stub my toe. The first thing out of my mouth is Mother Hubbard, you know. No, it's not. It's automatically not a curse word anymore. And it stayed that way. Gray area. Because some people, I'm going to just be honest, someone cuts you off in traffic, it's okay to get unholy. Just being honest. No, it's okay to give them a piece of their mind because they cut you off. Really? Is it really? What kind of example are you being to your kids? What kind of example are you being to your spouse? What kind of example are you being to your grandkids? Seriously, wait. You know, it's just, it's a matter of the heart to say, you know what? I don't want anything to cause me to not look toward Jesus, to be a distraction. This morning, the Holy Ghost is saying to people, bubblegum. There are things distracting you spiritually that are causing you the gray areas that are causing you from running your race successfully. I want to say successfully, because we think that we can, and then we can stop for a little while. You know, God's constantly moving. You know, you ever hear anyone say, you know what, well, I'm just waiting on God. Really, are we? Is it more us? Because whenever God has done all that he's going to do in our lives, and when we move, when we're saying, God, we're waiting on you, is it really, is he waiting on us? Is he waiting on us to get in a position that we're supposed to hear him better, clearer, or maybe even to be more obedient? Laying aside everything, anything that slows you down from your walk with God, if it causes you to be distracted, if it causes you to take your eyes off of Jesus. And I'm like, don't say, well, my spouse does that. No, you walking in the flesh does that. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your mother-in-law. It's your flesh. It's you doing what you want to do. And that's really what it boils down to when it comes to the gray area. It's you doing what you want to do. It's a person saying, that gray area is my excuse zone. Because the Bible doesn't necessarily say it. Okay, the Bible says, don't commit adultery. Well, I'm not married. Well, don't fornicate. I'm using biblical terms. But yet, people are clicking and watching stuff all the time. Well, it's okay because I'm not fornicating. I'm not fornicating. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not doing the act. I'm not, it's not hurting anybody. Really, is that you're in the excuse zone? Is it causing you to take your eyes off of Jesus? Because see, the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, Philippians, honest, good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Garbage in, garbage out. So really, honestly, I'm encouraging everyone to evaluate yourself this morning. Don't have your spouse evaluate you. You evaluate yourself. Or I should say this, your spouse don't evaluate your spouse, you know, or you don't evaluate the other person. Because, you know what, there comes a matter of what's more important in my relationship with God. Kenny wasn't in the room when I drop stuff or I hurt, you know, drop something on my foot, or I kicked something on accident, or I made a mistake and I yelled something out of anger. He wasn't around. But, you know, it was important to me because, you know, I felt I accepted Jesus on the inside, and he was in my heart. So Jesus was there. And I am there, I am here on this earth to serve Jesus, not to serve Kenny. He was just accountability. See how we can get off focus on things? It was really more about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. He's there with us all the time. He is the thing that should stop us from clicking in on that website. Jesus should be the reason why we don't say what we want to say to our spouse, right? But we do. We allow the fruit of the Spirit to rise up. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. We allow the fruit of the Spirit to rise up within our hearts instead of flushing out all over them. We allow God full access to our life. Not just limited access. No, God, this is roped off. This area of my heart's roped off. That's not giving God all of your heart. That's like God, Jesus saying, I only am the, just this side of me is going to die for you. The rest will live for me. Jesus gave his all so that you and I can walk in his fullness, not walk in his emptiness, not walk in his mediocreness. I don't know another word. Mediocrity. It's really about loving God and saying, I want to put God first. I want a desire to put God first. Because, see, that's when it becomes real. When there's nobody else, that's what true character is. It's who you are when no one else is looking. When no one else is around. Do you California roll stop into a, from a stoplight? You know that California roll? You just chip, and then you just keep going. Oh, well, no one was around. You know, I've been, because I've left the church office late, and I've been driving, you know, I go down, you know, Dunlop, and I'm in Williamson, and I make that left, and there's a light that, you know, oh, my gosh. Just, you know, it's just, I'm human. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I want to go home. It's 2 o'clock. I want to go home. And that light, if I get caught by it, that's like a 5-6 minute light. And nobody's around. So tempted to run it. But I don't. Talk about character. All right? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. I may have shared this before, but it just rose up in my heart. Just recently, I remember when I got my Jeep. This was like maybe 5-6 years ago. It's been a while now. So I remember when I first got it. It was like the first like couple weeks I had it. And I was like, I'm going to go get something to eat. I left the office, and I'm at Dunlop and going up toward 95, but I'm at Dunlop and Nova at the light. I sit there, I'm not on my phone or anything. I stop at the light, mind my own beeswax, right? Got some praise and worship music playing. All of a sudden, I look in the rearview mirror, and I see this car coming, and it's slowing down. Bam! I get nailed from behind. Oh, my gosh. The flesh side of me. I opened the door, stepped out, went like this. And as I was walking in my car, I calmed down, grabbed my earlobes, woosah, woosah, you know? You know, just, hey, everyone's human, right? But I walk over, I'm like, okay. By the time I got to the car, I wanted to see, I looked to see if my Jeep was all right. All of a sudden, I wanted to see if that person was all right. Obviously, something happened. And I walked over and I said, hey, are you okay? And the tinted window rolled down, and it was a church member, Family Worship Center. And he's like, Pastor John. I'm like, hey, what's going on, right? And I'm like, are you okay? He's like, I dropped my coffee, and I bent down. I looked up, and I went to step on the gas. I was stepping on the brake, and I accidentally stepped on the gas and just sped up. I'm like, you know what, are you okay? And worked it all out, and I was like, Holy Ghost, you're so good. What a horrible example that would have been. Just being honest. I get in the car, and I'm driving, right? All of a sudden, I hear a text come in. I stop at the next light, right? I didn't look at the text. All of a sudden, somebody pulls up next to me, right? And I hear, I look, and roll down the window, and it was an old DYG member. DYG graduate. And she said, hey, Pastor John, saw you got a fender bender. It's pretty cool that you didn't lose your cool. Somebody else watching. And I'm like, yeah, you know what it is? Just a vehicle. I'm glad that they're okay. And they're like, all right, glad you're okay. See ya. And I'm like, someone's always watching. Somebody's always watching Christians. You may not see it. But somebody's always watching you. May it be a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. Somebody's always watching us. And see, when we're saying we lay aside every weight and sin, I refuse. I'll tell you this one last story. The music ministry can come up because it just drives the point home. There was a youth minister. As you know, we do Camp Decision Camp Decision is going in its 29th year this coming year, consecutive year. Started in 1990. Have a couple different camps, Camp Decision Quebec, Camp Decision Spain, that are currently still going on strong. But one of the youth pastors was talking to me at one time several years ago. And we're talking about how they had a problem in their youth group and with their parents. And they had a problem with some parents. And the situation was that they went, and this was several years ago. I think majority of people will understand this. I know times have changed greatly. But this was back when it was very taboo for anyone in youth group or youth ministers to go see a rated R movie. And I remember this youth pastor said, "Oh, it was rated R, but it was no big deal." And there was a big revolt in their youth group from parents. And let me tell you something, when a youth pastor, youth minister doesn't have the parents on their side, that is a rough ship right there. You know, youth ministers need to do all they possibly can to get the parents buy-in. You know, parents know, like I just said to somebody yesterday, I said, thank you for trusting Family Worship Center with allowing your child to go on the inner city missions trip. And both husband and wife said, well, we knew that they were with Family Worship Center and they were going to be safe. So when you lose a parent's trust, that's big. And so this youth pastor said, you know, so I went and I made the decision. I wanted to go see it, and I went and saw it with some people. Well, that got back to the youth group. This is so small. This is small. It wasn't like they went out drinking. Oh, just had a couple beers because, you know, the Bible says, you know, it's okay. I'm not even talking that. I'm talking they just went and saw a Radar movie. This was in the 90s. And there were parents in the youth group that said that their kid came up and said, hey, I want to go see this movie. No, you should, no, I don't want you to see that. It's inappropriate. It's rated R. And what they said to their parent was, well, Pastor so-and-so went and saw it. Why can't I? And to the parent, it just shut them down. The parent didn't know what to say to that. And I remember when this youth pastor was telling me this, what rose up in my heart always became an anthem and a theme. That someone like Miss Maggie that worked with our youth ministry for umpteen years will tell you that every single one of us, for the youth pastor that I did close to 30 years, or I'm sorry, youth ministry, involved in youth ministry for 30 years, youth pastoring for 19, an anthem rose up in my heart that I will never, ever, ever, I'm going to do my very best not to be a teenager's excuse, but I want to be their example. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do my best not to be somebody's excuse. That's why you will never, ever, ever walk into Stonewood or any other place and ever see me and my wife drinking a glass of wine. I refuse to compromise and be somebody else's excuse. Because people are looking for the gray. They're looking for excuses to do what they want to do. I refuse to be a part of it. You know why? Because people are important to me. Now, that'd be too hardcore for you. But that's how real God is to me. That's how much of a difference that I want to make. That's how much of a difference that Kathy wants to make. There are things that the world will offer you that will cause distraction. Spiritually, we got to yell bubblegum and keep our eyes on Jesus. my desire to be, when the time comes, either my time in this earth is done or the trump sounds and we are all caught up and I'm standing before Jesus, he's not going to say, he'll say to me, why should I let you into my kingdom? And I'll say, because I've asked you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. But then in the questionnaire, it's not, he's going to be like, okay, see you, bye. He's going to say, the next question he's going to ask me is, did you do what I called you to do? Did you fulfill what I called you to fulfill? That's when I say, well and done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words that I long to hear. That, and I've used this example before, that if there's two screens that God showed, what we did with our lives were on this screen, and what we were supposed to do on this screen. And they played simultaneously. My prayer is that they would not be too far off. I hope your prayer would be that as well. Thing is, we're not perfect. Don't ever think that we're perfect. But God gives us the strength and the endurance to do what he's called us to do. The question is, are you doing it? There's some people in the house here this morning, some people worshiping online with us. We're yelling bubblegum. Get your eyes off of the gray areas. And for each person, like I said, it's going to be different. What are areas in your life that God's dealt with you about? Is partaking of whatever that is worth a closer relationship with him? I know for me the answer was no. Still walk and walk just like you, but you're able to do it. He loves you. He's already established that before we even started, how much he loves you and believes in you.